Quarantine over for the Monterey Wildcats. They were able to get back on the field Friday night. They come away with a win over Red Boiling Springs. The final, 44-8. Head coach Scott Hughes, had to feel good for you and your young man to join the football fraternity and get back on the field.
It was, and it was one of those things for our kids. It made them feel even more normal. You know, they've been at practice, they've been at school, and, you know, for society, things to get back to some sense of normalcy has been really good. And I think being able to run on the field at 7 o'clock last night kind of solidified that. And you know, our crowd was loud, and I think our crowd was excited to be back to normal. And all those things just made the world seem right for a little bit.
Mason Bowman, 3 touchdowns last night, a 19-yarder, 53-yarder, 40-yarder to help you get out in front.
It is, and Mason didn't fumble. He recovered a fumble.
Gotcha.
And so he's a decently talented kid that works hard, and you know, he's a high character young man. And you know, last night he done some things that you know, we knew he could do. I think he ended up with 3 touches for 103 yards and 3 touchdowns. And pretty good little night when you've only got 3 carries and you can say you're over 100 yards and have 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's not a bad average, is it?
No, I don't know if there's any, you know, school records for that stuff, but I'm going to say he's got to be close to it in a night.
With that said, offensive line, what'd you like?
You know, we had some buzz, but the one thing that I took from last night, not only with our offensive line, but also just our whole team, is we played really hard. You know, it was one of those things that through practice, I've kind of questioned that a little bit. And which everybody knows how practice is. You're not always going to have your best day at practice, even though as coaches we want to be perfect every day, and we harp and preach about that and preach, you know, effort every day. But, you know, that was the one thing I was really impressed with last night, was just how hard our kids played. I thought our offensive line was pretty aggressive. There's several things that we need to tweak and work out, and a lot of that will come over time. I think we're still, you know, weeks away from being where we hope to be, just because of the amount of practice time we've lost and the amount of game time and live repetitions we've lost.
Scott Hughes, who stood out to you defensively in the win?
Several guys. You know, Anthony Sobranos was flying around, you know, and crap, even on special teams, last night he hit anything that would move. And sometimes I was scared he may hit guys on our team. But, you know, he was really excited. It's his senior year, and you know, he knows he's got a short window left. And Anthony's meant a lot to our program. He's a young man, you know, that started as a freshman and has played, you know, started every game of his high school career, and, you know, football and Monterey football, just it means a lot to him, and he's a key for us. You know, I thought our secondary played pretty well. I thought they were in pretty good spots. Carter Charlton was a young man that last night played really well, and Carter had a great sophomore year, and he's come back, you know, even more physically developed and, you know, has a great understanding for the game. And Carter's another guy that, you know, Monterey football means a lot to him, and you're always going to get a great effort out of him. And, you know, those are the guys that we rally around, because we know we're going to get everything they've got every Friday. And you know, the rest of those guys just kind of follow, and they set the culture for our program. And, you know, they're the face of our program. And so they're the guys that we rely on, you know, day in and day out.
You know, people have asked, you know, why do you play football this year? Why do it? It's guys like Anthony in that final chance to play. That's why you play.
Oh, I mean, when you look at guys like him and Denver Smith, 2 seniors that return on our football team that have started since they were freshmen, and you know, they're pushing now, you know, well over 30 games in their high school career as far as starters. And you know, they don't miss a day. They're the first ones in. They're the last ones to leave. They're the ones that's, you know, asking questions. They're the ones that's organizing, you know, off-season workouts on their own to get extra conditioning in, or they're the first ones asking for film. you know, they're the guys that when you go back down the list, that as a coach, you look back on and you go, okay, they helped to create the program that we have. And you know, when you go back through the last 6-7 years of my tenure at Monterey, there's a lot of those guys that you put from 2014 in that category that really helped change the culture and set the culture that we wanted. And the really neat thing about it is last night I'm getting text messages from those guys and guys that have left our program, over the last few years on how do I get tickets? Coach, I know seating's so limited. How do I get tickets? And you go back and it's those guys that what we call the face of our program at some point in time, they're wanting to come back and give back. And they're wanting to talk to our team. And you know, it's a very interesting dynamic that has become a very special dynamic. I mean, I had a guy last night that played for us last year. He's the first guy meeting our kids as they're coming off the field because it just means that much. And they've developed that brotherhood not only of playing with that team in that current season, but it lasts on down the line.
That really is what tradition in football is about. People, you know, point to, colors and songs and cheerleaders and all of that, and that's important. But the tradition of great football programs at any level are that involvement with alumni and that they care, and you build tradition generation to generation.
Yeah, and you know, that's something that we're trying to get back into and really trying to do more of. And I feel like I've been at Monterey for a long time, but I this is just my seventh season, and so we're trying to get that culture and build that culture, and I'm starting to see the turn with guys coming back to our games and those connections and staying connected. And last night, you know, I saw a lot of guys that have played for me that were in the stadium and you know, the text messages on Friday and just, you know, it's the relationship part. And that's what I've always stressed as a head coach is, and with our coaches, we're developing relationships that last beyond high school football. And, you know, yesterday we had people lining up early to get tickets because there was such a small window of tickets and it's starting to develop and it has developed and the key to it to me, and I tip my hat to our administration because they've supported what our football belief is and they gave us the opportunity to be successful in a lot of ways. But I also tip my hat to our community because our community is so supportive every Friday night in the off season. You know, they want to be there. They want to support these young men, and that's huge to have that community support.
Final score Friday night, Monterey 44, Red Boiling Springs 8, as the Wildcats get their first victory of 2020. Head Coach Scott Hughes, as always, we thank you for the time.
Thank you for covering us. It means a lot to our program.
Week 3 of the high school football season, the UC Sports Nation scoreboard, powered by East Tennessee Dodge. Ty Dutchess led the way on the ground for the Upperman Bees as they beat Smith County 42-14 last night. Dutchess got things started early when he took the ball 57 yards to the house. After the Owls cut the deficit in the game, Dutchess gave the Bees all the room they needed, a 54-yard touchdown run. Dutchess, 249 yards and 3 touchdowns. Girls soccer goalie Michaela Reagan nailed 2 field goals Friday night to send York to a 6-3 win over Grundy County. Caden Stover led the way offensively with 42 yards on the ground. Dalton Barger, 41. Mason Bowman with touchdowns last night, 3 of them, in fact. Monterey beats Red Boiling Springs 44-8. The Wildcats get their first win of the season, 1-0 after the COVID delay. Cavaliers gave up 278 rushing yards as Riverdale beats Cookeville 21-6. Stockton Owen, 129 yards and the lone touchdown, a beautiful run for Cookeville. Clay County beats Joe Burns by a 48-7 score. Keaton Arms, 5-5 passing, 169 yards, 3 touchdowns. Arms also with a touchdown on the ground. Sloppy weather conditions in Crossville after some afternoon rain. Livingston Academy beats Cumberland County 7-0. Caleb Robinson scored on a 10-yard run. Braden Tollett for the Jets, completing 2 passes for 27 yards. DeKalb County escapes with a win over Stone Memorial, 31-30. The Tigers get a field goal with just under a minute remaining in the third quarter to get the win. Axel Aldino contributed three touchdowns. He threw one, ran for two more as DeKalb gets the win. Gordonsville beats Pickett County 53-14. The visitors came out early, getting a 23-0 lead in the first quarter. The Warriors of White County fall to CAK 10-7. A touchdown in the final 2 minutes of the game proved to be the difference. Westmoreland beats Jackson County 34-12. Warren County beats Rockvale 18-13. In Crossville, before Livingston Academy and Cumberland County got at it last night, that certainly had an impact on the game. Bruce Lamb with us on the High School Playbook as we move through this Saturday morning. Kind of a sloppy condition, Coach?
Yeah, as bad as I've ever coached or played in. We had one a few years ago at Livingston. We had a torrential rain and right before we played, and it just, our field was terrible, and it was bad up there. We stood on the sideline, and the water and mud was up to our ankles, and that was the way it was most of the field. And it was tough to play on.
Livingston gets the win 7-0 over the Jets. As you're standing there before the game and you're seeing that, are things already running through your head that, you know, we liked this play, for example, and now I'm not so sure we can do that, or other kind of X's and O's things?
Absolutely. When you see the field the way in the condition it was, number one, you think you need to score early because the field's just going to get worse as the night goes on. And the next thing you think of is we're not going to be able to throw the ball. We're going to have to line up and run the ball and just try to play, you know, smash mouth football. And we ended up having to do that last night. And both teams tried that. And it just, the offenses were just hampered the entire night.
You did get on the board first in the second quarter. Caleb Robinson got you in the end zone.
Yeah, Caleb's playing great. The kids did a good job of maintaining their blocks. And Caleb's just, since the injury to Parker Goldman, Caleb's going to have to be our workhorse. And I think he ended up with over 150 yards last night running the ball. And, you know, we're going to give it to him. And he does a great job of finding the hole and getting what he can, and he did super last night with pounding the ball when he had to pound it.
Second time in 3 weeks that you've had to line up and do that, so I'm assuming your offensive line has certainly gotten a workout.
They have, and we're having to play some young kids in the backup roles to give some of our older kids rest, and it's been a great experience for them, and they're learning learning a lot. You just kind of learn as you go, and we see different things each week, and the kids are responding to it, and we don't do everything perfect yet, but we're headed that way.
In some ways, getting these kinds of experiences early in the season where you're just going to have to line up and do it, is that building experience for down the road?
Absolutely. For our young men who's just going to, they're going to continue getting better. By the end of the season, I'm sure we'll see. We've went through every defense that you can come up with, and it's good for our young guys to get up there and learn that. And it's going to by week 10, 9 or 10, we're going to line up, and it's just going to be old hat to them, and they're going to line up and know exactly what to do and when to do it.
Livingston head coach Bruce Lamb as the Livingston Academy can't get the win 7-0 over Cumberland County. Defensively, what did you like last night?
Well, we played hard. The four guys up front, the defensive line, played tremendous. They controlled the line of scrimmage. I love that, and the linebackers are doing a great job of filling the hole and making some plays. Xander Cantrell was in the backfield all night. Austin Reeder, one of my defensive linemen, he's a man. I'm just going to tell you, when he wants to play, he is one of the best around here, and he controlled it last night. He controlled a lot of scrimmage with Dexter Wright and Carson Smith and Daniel Hill. Those guys did a wonderful job just controlling what went on up the line of scrimmage.
And that helps in these conditions because, you know, offensive players know where they're going. Defensive players don't always know where the skill guys are going. But if you can get that consistent pressure, you can't get anything happening.
Absolutely. And it freed our linebackers up. Nate Carwile, who's our leader on defense and middle linebacker, he had, gosh, I couldn't tell you. I know it's double digits in tackles, and it was it helps with having those guys up front, you know, taking care of the offensive lineman, and so he can roam free and make some plays.
What has Nate done to put himself in the position to really have an outstanding season?
Well, Nate Carwile is maybe the smartest kid I've coached in 27 years. He is just one of these guys who knows the game. He loves it, and he studies the ball game, and he puts everybody on our team, especially on defense, in the right position. He's like a coach on the field, and he's done a great job. He's gotten stronger. He's gotten faster, and he is doing a great job of finding the ball. And when he finds it, he doesn't miss tackles. That's huge to have in a middle linebacker spot.
What an asset, a guy that likes football to the point that he wants to study and work on it and know what that offense is doing before the play ever starts.
Absolutely. You know, when he lines up, you can see him. He's telling pointing to where the ball is going. You know, he knows the tendencies of the offense. You know, maybe they run off tackle 80% of the time. He knows this, and that's like having a coach on the field, and it's great to have a young man that loves the ball game this much.
Bruce Lamb, where are you after three games?
Well, we're still learning. We're still learning, and we're trying to find our identity, and we're getting closer. The weather is not helping out very much. Two of the three games have been absolutely just water stay on the field. It's terrible. You can't get any traction. You can't throw the ball. You can't do anything. But offensively, we're headed the right way. We just got to – it would be nice to have a game where there's we can have a little traction and we can just line up and play. And you know, we started Nathan Kogel last night at quarterback, and Nathan was our third-team quarterback coming out of camp, and he did a great job last night of controlling the game. And then we bring Raven Carpenter in, who's a phenomenal athlete and quarterback. And, you know, we throw the ball, we run the ball, but, you know, last night it was just run, and they did a great job of controlling things. And we just got to continue getting better. I mean, we're nowhere near being as good as we can be, and we're still making some small mistakes, but we're headed the right way.
Livingston 7, Cumberland County nothing, as Livingston approves to 2-1 on the season. Head coach Bruce Lamb, we appreciate your visit.
Thank you, Larry.
Dwight County Warriors football. The Warriors fall to CAK 10-7, final score from Friday night. Head coach Mark Frazier, this was a nip and tuck affair as the night wore on.
Yeah, no doubt. It started out, we didn't think it was going to be that way. I don't think either team probably felt it was going to be a defensive struggle. They've scored, I think they said they averaged 37 points a game. Of course, we've only played once and had a decent offensive output. So, and the opening play was a kickoff that was, you know, a touchdown that got called back, and then we scored three or four plays later, and it turned out that was it for the night. So it was a defensive battle and on a muddy, wet field, and unfortunately we ended up on the wrong end of the stick.
You had a couple of scoring opportunities that you just weren't able to get in, and I know that has to hurt.
Yeah, we were down there a few times. I don't know that we were ever inside the, you know, the 10 or 15 where we, you know, had a real easy shot where you think you should get in. We did attempt a field goal, you know, close to the end of the half, but it was a longer field goal, and we had a poor hold, and, you know, we didn't really get a good shot at it anyway. But that field goal would have obviously been a big help, but, you know, it was a 45-yard field goal-ish, somewhere in that range. So, you know, we just didn't execute as well as we wanted to on offense. We played, you know, really well on defense, I thought, against a good offensive football team. And that's how it goes sometimes. You know, I really want to stress to our team this week how it's going to be the other way around at times when the defense struggles and offense picks us up. You know, that was, had a great offensive performance the week before. So, you know, that's football. You, sometimes it turns out that way. So we got to do just a little bit better job of finishing the job. You know, I don't know. I'm sure you've heard, but we've had, you know, we lost a, they scored on defense on a snap, on a bad snap. And the night, it actually wasn't a bad snap. It was a miscommunication between snapper and quarterback. Quarterback was looking at us and snapper was hearing claps. And so they picked it up and scored, you know, there late in the fourth quarter. But, you know, you learn from it and you move on.
But to lose in that kind of way, that stings a little more, doesn't it?
Well, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I would have loved to have seen them earned it offensively if we could have got a punt out of there. But, you know, it, every time you lose, it, you know, you say it stings more. I don't know. It just stings, period. How about that? It stings no matter how you lay when you lose. But I'm very, very proud of our kids. Even after we had that bad snap, had some guy, we had, came out and had a really good drive. I felt like our best drive of the game, the series after that, with two seniors, Hunter Pope and Kay Clark, they came out and they just were refusing to lose. They drove the ball down the field, and we ended up getting another penalty that backed us up. And so, you know, it's one of those things where they gave everything they had. I wouldn't trade them for anybody, and they really gave a good effort after that. So I was proud of them keeping their head up, even some, you know, some really tough adversity when you've led the whole game and you don't go behind till the very end, and in that manner that you go behind, and they kept fighting. So proud of them for that.
How many seniors do you have this year?
Well, we got a small senior class, actually. You know, last year we had like 20-something seniors. This year we've got around 12 seniors. So, you know, but the thing about it is they all play and they all contribute. So we've got a good class. You know, like I said, it's a small class, but it's a good class. So, you know, they've provided the leadership we needed. They did that for sure last night.
I asked because of that, you know, that it starts to sink in. And I've talked to enough high school seniors over the years that, you know, they finally, you don't think high school is going to end. And then suddenly it's like, wow, here it is. This is my senior year. These are the last opportunities I'm going to get.
Well, no doubt. And I can see that in their eyes last night. Like I said, I mentioned those two because they came out. They play on defense. They play every snap on defense. And then, you know, we try to get them a little bit of rest on offense. But we miss them over there when they don't get out there. But then that last series, they were going to put everything they had into it. And so they came out and gave it their all. And sometimes the ball just doesn't bounce your way. So, but it wasn't for lack of effort.
Coach Mark Frazier, did you see development during this practice week and in game two from where you were a week ago?
Well, you know, we had to. We hadn't seen anything. Yeah. We hadn't been able to practice, you know, before. Our first practice was our first game, basically. So we got to learn a lot about our team that first game. I felt, you know, just to speak on the defensive side specifically, we had a secondary that gave up two touchdowns in the first game. I challenged them all week. I challenged them that, you know, and I really felt like they were going to be the difference makers because, you know, this team is can really throw the football in CAK. Got a lot of athletes out there, and the quarterback is spectacular. And they had four interceptions. They answered the bell. They turnovers down on our end of the field, and they turned it right back over on them. And so, you know, defense, and a lot of that mental, the mental game, knowing how to line up, where to go, because we threw a little more at them back there than we had in the past. And three of those guys in there played before. So this is their second game. So, very, very, very proud of them and seeing how they came along. We had have a sophomore middle linebacker that got an interception and Garrett Johnson that was a big, big play and he's coming along. So yeah, proud of the development, from week one to week two.
Finally, Mark Frazier, the emotions of this week. This is one of the reasons that you play sports is the chance to go up against your rival. It means a little more, doesn't it?
No doubt. No doubt. Excited about this week. Cookville, though, I mean, they're an excellent football team. They've got an offensive line that looks like they could all start with Tennessee Tech over there. Big guys, running backs huge, a new guy that's really running the ball well for them. And then, obviously, their quarterback is a special athlete. So we got our hands full. There's no doubt about that. But it is fun, and you know, you embrace the challenge and you embrace the rivalry, and you go over there and you give it your best. You never know. They play them for a reason. We'll need several breaks to go our way for us to be competitive in the game. But, you know, that's why you go over there and give it a go.
Christian Academy of Knoxville, 10, White County, 7, the final Friday night. Mark Frazier, head coach of the Warriors. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Larry.
Clay County wins big Friday night, beating Joe Burns, 48-7, the final score. Head coach Jake Johnson joins us now on the High School Playbook. Let's start defensively, Coach. Just giving up 7 points Friday night. How proud of you with how proud are you of what your defense was able to do?
Oh, definitely proud of the effort all around. And you know, that's something we have we've been frustrated a little bit the first couple games. Is, you know, I feel like last season, you know, we really hung our hat on defensive play, and you know, this year we end up giving a lot more points of the first 2 weeks. Granted, the opponents have changed, but, you know, that's something we really tried to retool and refocus up on this this last Friday to get back to playing good defensive football.
A mindset thing, a technique thing, can you point to kind of why you're not where you want to be?
Well, a lot of it's reps, you know, and of course, you know, nobody – I guess everybody's saying the same thing is, you know, you've not had enough time, you've not had enough reps to get some of these guys ready that you're trying to, you know, get into the sink of things. But, you know, it was a combination of a lot. You know, some of it was some technical technique stuff we just not had time to work on or address. You know, those first two games, I feel like we were in scrimmage mode almost, you know, still trying to find our identity and trying to, you know, iron the wrinkles out pretty much.
I guess this is the way it is every year, but it feels like even more this year. See if you agree that it's going to be the teams that week after week keep improving are the ones that are going to be standing when we get to November.
Absolutely. And you know, it's hard to argue that any other way. It's, you know, once again, due to lack of reps and everything else, you have to. You know, if you don't continue to get better, somebody else is going to, but it's a different feel, you know, cause you've got months of preparation in spring that you just didn't have and account for. And it's definitely a very unique situation, but I agree with that. I mean, if you're not improving week to week, you know, you're not going to make it.
Defensively in the 48-7 win. Really made it tough on the opposing quarterback, a couple of guys with interceptions.
Well, and, you know, Alec Kerr didn't record an interception. He actually tipped it to Joseph Markham and allowed him to have his. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago he had three. Carson Sharp, another returning starter that we have on defense, he ended up kicking one off. A couple turnovers, you know, they definitely help us in the turnover battle. Anytime you win that, you know, you're generally going to have success. But I was proud of the way my kids played. I think Kerr forced a fumble also. But, you know, I think around three turnovers for them, we were pretty clean and efficient with the ball. Other than I think we had one little bobbled snap at some point that we ended up turning the ball over. But, you know, from where we've been, as far as the turnover margin, you know, it's something I feel like we can build on.
What did you like in Keaton Arms' play?
I mean, the jitters were out. You know, first year starter at quarterback, you know, kid's a sophomore, has loads and loads of potential, athleticism and ability. You know, there's been times to where, you know, you get frustrated a little because, you know, hey, he's young, he's making his way through it. But, I mean, last night he played a very, very, very good game, highly efficient, highly effective, both in the running game, the passing game. I mean, he really stepped up and delivered on what we've been waiting to see.
The challenge now, and if you can figure this one out, you can bottle it and sell it, is how do you get him to build off last night and continue on to next week and take it another step?
Well, and ultimately that comes down to the kid.
Yep.
And, you know, is he going to be satisfied with where he's at, or is, I mean, he's going to keep trying to improve? And he's a competitor. You know, he's that kind of kid. He's a lunch-pail kid. He doesn't really say a whole lot. Big guy, probably about 6'2", about 220. I mean, big, stocky guy, blue-collar mentality. He'll continue to improve.
you know, but it's one of those things. I've never played the quarterback position. I can only imagine being, you know, 15, 16 years old and having 18, 19-year-old men rushing at my face and having to deal with that. So hats off to him. He'll keep getting better.
What did you see from your offensive line Friday night?
Much improvement from the week before. You know, granted, Stone Memorial was really good up front the week before also. Not to take anything away from Joe Burns, but we really got that ground game established. And you know, that, you know, things like that would really help out. You know, your passing game, help out your quarterback. It's helped the flow of the game. The defense in general is, I mean, you have to establish the run game. You've got to be able to control the clock. When you do that, good things are going to happen for you.
Are you pleased with where you are right now? I know there's a lot of things on the list to fix, but considering everything, are you pretty happy?
As far as improvement from week to week, you know, it's hard to say that I'm anything but pleased. You know, however, I guess it's the old coach's mentality. It's, you know, you're never satisfied. You know, you never get complacent. So, rule of thumb, you know, I'm going to celebrate the win probably until this afternoon, and then it's on the film to the next one. That's about it. You know, the wins are short, but the preparation is long.
That's the coach's mantra, right?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Clay County, a winner over Joe Burns, 48-7 to improve to 2-1 on the Young campaign. Coach, we appreciate it as always.
I appreciate you.
Clay County coach, Jake Johnson. The Upperman Mennonees go to one of the more interesting places in our region to play. They come away with a dominating win, beating Smith County 42-14. The high school playbook rolls on with head coach Adam Kane of the Upperman Bees. Feels good to go to Smith and get a win, I'm sure.
Absolutely. A lot of people talk about it being a very tough place, you know, to play. And I think over the years, from what I understand, Upperman has had some troubles there. But, you know, we got into a little bit of a dogfight. I think they made some big adjustments and improvements throughout the week. And, you know, it's 21-14 in the fourth quarter. And, you know, the momentum was pretty much on their side throughout the third. And then I had some guys, Ty Dutchess really made some big plays on the offensive side for us. And, we were able to get some defensive stops and, you know, kind of made it look a little worse than it was. But, you know, they gave us everything we wanted. And I was, proud to see my young and inexperienced group of guys kind of grow up and pull away with a victory.
You can't script those situations, but I'm sure as a coach, you love it to be in that kind of situation in the fourth quarter, and it's kind of like looking around the huddle and saying, all right, who's going to step up now and make a play to help us win this game?
Yeah, I hope, you know, when we look back on the season, I hope we can look to that, you know, that kind of, there was a sequence of about, you know, 5 or 10 plays there that really, really made a difference. And I hope we can look back and say that, you know, that was a turning point for us and we really stepped up. You know, we saw it a little bit last week. We were 7-7 at the cab at halftime and then Daniel Metzger returned the opening kickoff in the second half and kind of gave us a little breathing room. And, so we've got some guys that are capable of, you know, making big plays to help us, you know, win ball games. But I think it was important for us to see that we could, you know, get up and then get back down, or not really down, but get up and get into a struggle and then, get the momentum back on our side. I think that is important for the guys to see that, you know, there are going to be swings in the game, and you just got to stay the course. And you know, like I tell them all the time, is you just got to hold on a little bit longer than your opponent does if you want to win.
Head coach Adam Kane, what can you say about the development of Ty Dutchess and how he has performed for you through his career?
Yeah, he's it was funny. He was – we were walking, it's a pretty, probably a half mile walk from the locker room to the field. He was telling me last time he was here, he was a freshman, and he didn't do much as a freshman because he got hurt probably week three. But I reminded him he did have a big interception that sealed a big win over Cookeville that year. And then last year, you know, he was a two-way starter and, you know, put up some pretty good stats. But we're still kind of playing second fiddle to some other guys. And then, you know, he's a kid with, you know, with great speed, and he's become a little bit more of a physical running back as well. He was breaking tackles last night. He's also a quarterback for us and, you know, true dual threat guy. But last night was, you know, 247 yards and three touchdowns, and we needed every bit of it. And I'm really proud of him, and I know he worked hard at it. You know, when we were off for 6 months during this, this COVID break from school, you know, he would send me pictures of workouts and videos of, you know, him training, you know, to be a quarterback and this, that, and the other. So I know it means a lot to him and he works for it. And I'm always gratifying to see those guys succeed.
Defensively, Coach, who kind of stood out to you at first glance last night?
Well, I thought we played pretty well other than giving up the early touchdown. I thought we played pretty well in the secondary. You know, Carter Shanks, I saw him break up a few balls. I was hoping he could have intercepted a few, but he battled in there. You know, Jaron McClellan always does a good job for us up front. And, you know, we also got, two of the biggest plays of the game were Thomas Enzer. He's one of our linebackers and really came in and we blitzed him through the B gap and he made a pretty big time hit, knocked the guy backwards. And those are the things we really feed off of. And I told him, you know, he's also rotates a quarterback. And, you know, it was a mud pit and a swamp there last night. So there wasn't much, you know, the footballs weighed about, 35 pounds. So there wasn't a whole lot of throwing, but, you know, so I think he was a little maybe upset about not getting to throw the ball as much as he wanted to. But I told him after the game, you know, those two big hits he had were probably, as important as any, you know, touchdown passes or anything will be for us.
Your list of things where you want to get better, are you seeing improvement in that list game after game?
We are. You know, we're finally learning how to practice a little bit, and that's important because, you know, I just believe in repetition, and, you know, we're learning how to, you know, get our reps and you know, our techniques are getting better. And so we're making improvements. The big thing we've got to guard against is just the roller coaster rides that, you know, being inexperienced and being, you know, fairly young, you know, playing a lot of guys that haven't played before. It's just, you know, last night we came out and we're really good in the first quarter. And then I think they beat us 14-7 in the second and third quarters. And but then in the fourth quarter, we did, you know, we won 21-0. And so, but, you know, we're going to get into some games later in the season where we can't have those downswings of the roller coaster ride. And so that's where I'm really hoping. And I think that's comes with experience on one hand, but I think it's also, you know, it can become a mental thing. And you know, the big thing at halftime was just, you know, let's not panic and let's not act surprised that this team is being very competitive. I mean, they practice too and they want to win too. And so, you know, let's just try to do our job a little bit better this half and, you know, we were able to knuckle down and get some big stops on fourth downs, and then Terrence Dedman really took over there in the fourth quarter.
It's the mental part of football, and that's the part that you can't control. That's part of what makes it interesting, or pull your hair out if you're a coach. For the rest of us, it's interesting.
Absolutely.
Adam Kane, head coach at Upperman. The Bees beat Smith County 42-14. Coach, congratulations on the win. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Kind of a tale of two halves for the Cookeville Cavaliers Friday night. They fall to Riverdale 21-6. Jimmy Maynard is head coach of your Cavaliers and joins us on the high school playbook. You get down early, Coach, but, man, your young men really, they came out in the second half and they said, we're not going to let this be an easy win for Riverdale.
Well, I think the first half is just we haven't faced anybody with the speed that Riverdale has or the athleticism and size. And I think that first half it took us a little bit of acclimation period there to get used to the speed of the game. But our coaches did a great job. Our defensive coaches did a heck of a job adjusting some things they were doing to us at halftime. And our kids, you know, we challenged them to go out there and play hard. And I feel like we grew up that second half. We definitely had our opportunities. You know, we cut it to 14-6, I guess, and got our extra point block, but we cut it down there and actually dominated the second half until that very last at the end of the game, and they busted a 60-yarder for a touchdown. But you know, we had our opportunity. We had the ball inside the five, and we get a holding penalty, which would have had an opportunity to get the game tied up. But just I'm proud of the effort. I don't like losing, but I thought our kids grew up some under tough conditions against a very good football team, and you know, that's what you want. That's what you expect from them.
I know you're the coach, and I know that you watch it from a different perspective from those of us who are fans, but can you think through Stockton's touchdown run and some of the things that he did on that particular run? That was sensational.
Well, he's one of the toughest kids I've ever seen. He takes some shots, and he's a great kid. But that was a super run against a very talented team. I mean, that's just a it's hard to explain it, but he's a strong kid. He showed some speed, showed good speed, and just the kind of kid you want leading your football team at the quarterback position.
Equally as impressive as what you were able to do offensively in the second half in terms of controlling the game, your defense really came out and got Riverdale off the field.
I think that set the tone. You know, we had the first half, we had several situations there where we couldn't get off. You know, I think third down, we were good on third down, but they converted like three out of four on fourth down, and that's tough. You know, it's hard on you. But the second half, they come out, and we had to kick off to them, and our defense, they really, really set the tone for us, got off the field and gave our offense a chance, and, we made some good play calls in the second half, started getting some things going, opened things up. We threw the ball a little bit, got the passing game going some, and just a good second half. I feel like, you know, we, even Steve in the second half, they scored one and we scored one, and theirs came late. So, really, it was a great effort on our defense. I think until the last play, we had them less than 100 yards of offense in the second half.
Able to get some pressure on the quarterback, too, in the second half.
We did. That was our goal the whole time. He's a small kid, and he gets the ball out very quick, and we wanted to make sure we got some hits on him, and he's not a running threat, and he's not much of a scrambler, and that was part of our game plan going in, is to try to get some pressure and get some hits on him. But our secondary did a great job. We gave up 38 yards of passing yardage, and this is a team that throws the football around quite a bit, and we were able to secondary made tackles. They completed balls, but it was like for 2 and 3 yard gains. Our secondary reacted really well. I was proud of them.
What was your message to your team after it was done?
Well, my message was, guys, I feel like this second half we grew up as a football team. We could have easily given in and laid down, and that ball game could have been a running clock. That's how good they are. If had we not have played hard the second half, and you know, it was even Steve in the second half against a very talented team. And, you know, I told her, guys, I don't think we're going to face a defense any better than that one. I mean, they really have some players. And so that was encouraging. And you know, we got moving forward, we got to continue to improve and get better.
Because you will see defenses that not to that level, but you're going to see quality defenses. You're going to see speed. There is an adjustment for players, isn't there, to try to get ready for the speed of the game at a different level?
It really is. You know, we haven't seen the caliber. They're two running backs were really good players, and not only were they fast kids, but they had great vision and you know. But it does. It's tough. I mean, you know, you can't simulate it in practice, and not to take anything away from our first two opponents, but we haven't seen that. That's what I'm saying. We have not seen that kind of speed. So it took us, you know, it took us a half to obviously get acclimated to it.
It's a rivalry week, but maybe more importantly for the football team and for the football program, the athletic program at Cookeville High, you're going to debut your new field this week. I know that has to be something that you're very proud of.
Well, very much so, Larry. I just, you know, when this whole thing started, I thought there would be no way that this could ever happen with the things that happened in 2020 with the tornado and the pandemic and all that. And, of course, you know, my hat's off to those ladies that were very, you know, instrumental in making that happen and all the people that were generous enough to help us with that. And it's exciting for our kids. And what a better team to play against than White County. And they've much improved football team, very much improved football team. So, you know, hopefully it's a big night for us. And, you know, I think we're going to hopefully get to practice on it Monday morning and give it a test run.
Riverdale beats Cookeville 21-6 Friday night. Jimmy Maynard, head coach of the Cavaliers. Thanks, Coach, for the time.
Thank you, Larry.